If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Dr. Luke's Gospel. And it's an unusual passage for Mother's Day, but I think that you'll see how it fits in with the message this morning. And by the way, I am indebted this morning to one of my favorite wordsmiths, Max Lucado, for a good bit of material in the sermon this morning. He is one who writes like very few other people can write about the things of Christ. But if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open with me to Luke, the first chapter, beginning to read with verse 26 and continuing through verse 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she is said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And may God add his blessing to this reading and to this hearing of his word. Let's look to God in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage. It reminds us of your entrance into this world through the womb of Mary. And Father, we pray that you would give us insight into who we are as we have Christ in us. Forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they're many, and point us to Jesus Christ and him alone. For we pray in his name. Amen. Any of you ever wondered what it's like to be a mother? I know what it is like to ask that question, because I know what it's like to be a dad, to be a father, to be a husband. But what's it like to be a mother? And every Mother's Day, I read an article that was written a number of years ago, given to me by Virginia Lavender, from the pen of Irma Bombeck. She had a way of writing that just captured things in a unique way. And the title of this is "When God Created Mothers." It gives us an answer to what being a mother is like. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day overtime when the angel came and said to him, "You're putting a lot into this one." And the Lord said, "But have you read the specs on this one? She has to be completely washable, not plastic, have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and six pairs of hands." The angel shook his head, or her head, and said slowly, "Six pairs of hands? No way." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "One pair to see through doors, closed doors," when she asked, "What are you kids doing in there?" when she already knows. "Another in the back of her head to see what she shouldn't, but knows she has to. And, of course, the ones in front. that look at a child when he's goofed up and say, I understand, and I love you without even uttering a word. Lord, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, come to bed now, tomorrow. I can't, says the Lord. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on a pound of hamburger, and give a 9-year-old a shower. And the angel cried, circled the model of the mother very slowly. It's too soft, but tough. You can't imagine what this mother can endure. Can it think? Not only think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over, ran her finger across the cheek. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you were trying to put too much into this model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. You're a genius, said the angel. The Lord looked somber. I didn't put it there. Love that statement by Irma Bombay. I love her. I miss her writings terribly. There's some things that only a mom can do. Only a mom can powder a baby's bottom, hold a phone in the other hand. Only a mom knows which teenager's coming in the door by the sound of the key. Only a mom can spend a day wiping noses, laundering enough socks for the Ole Miss baseball team, balancing a checkbook down to 99 cents, and still give thanks to God that she's a mother. Some things only a mom can fix, like hamburger helper without hamburger, like fixing the lock on the back door that her husband couldn't fix in chagrin when he learns that she has fixed it. Broken shoelaces, broken hearts, breaking out on your face, breaking up with your sweetheart. Moms can handle that. Some things only a mom can fix. Some things only a mom knows. How long it takes to drive from a piano lesson to a basketball practice. She knows how many pizzas it takes to feed a junior high sleepover. How many Weight Watchers points are left in the day. How many days are left in the semester. Mom knows. We men generally don't know those kind of things. And kids growing up are clueless to what a mom does. But moms are a breed apart, and the rest of us can wonder and ponder. Listen to this question. Mom, what's it like when you felt the foot within your womb, when the infant cry filled the room, to think that you and heaven just circled the moon? What's it like when you zipped the jacket up to the top and placed a kiss on a 5-year-old's cheek and waved goodbye and then saw the trike, silent and still? What was it like the first time you noticed his voice was deep, the first time she asked if you were asleep and wanted to know if love was real, and you told her, how did you feel? Then the candles were lit, she came down the aisle. Did you weep? Did you smile? And when your child told you the news and in the quiet corner asked for clues, Mom, what's it like? What you told her, would you tell us? If you've ever wondered about thoughts like that, I want you to think with me for just a few moments about what it must have meant for Mary to be visited by the angel Gabriel, to think of all of the implications of that. To bear a baby is one thing, but to carry God in your womb is another thing. You know, the virgin birth is real. It is true. And it's more than just a Christmas story. It's a picture of how Christ can come to you and to me. Think about this. The first step in his itinerary in coming to this earth was being carried for 9 months in a womb. Where will God touch the world? Look deep into Mary and we'll find an answer. Or better still, look within yourself this morning in this worship service. For what he did for Mary, he can do for you. He issues to each of us a Mary-level invitation. If you'll let me, I'll come in and live in you. If you go through the scriptures, there is, in the New Testament particularly, a preposition that is used over and over and over regarding our relationship with Christ. It's the preposition in, I-N. Jesus lives in his people. Listen to the way Paul put it. He put down his pen and he was writing to the Ephesians and he prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Again to the Colossians, Paul writes, Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. John also clearly indicates that as well when he says, those who obey his commands live in him. And he in them. And I suppose the most famous invitation in the scripture in John, as he sees the revelation and sees Christ coming to his churches in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You know, Christ grew in Mary for those 9 months until he had to come out. And Christ grows in us until he comes out in our speech, in our actions, in our decisions, in our home life, in our work life, in our social life. Every place you live is kind of a Bethlehem. Every place you are is kind of a Christmas. For we as Christians deliver Christ to the world. God with us. That's the message of the gospel. God with us and what he did in Christ for us. Look back at the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. You read in those early chapters that God was, and notice the preposition, with Adam and Eve as they walked in the cool of the evening. God was with Abraham when he became the father of the faithful. God was with Moses and the Israelites. Parents could point their children to the cloud that led them by day, by the fire that protected them at night, and said, God is with us. And even the cherubim and the ark and the glory of the tabernacle, the magnificent splendor of the temple, God was with his people. God was with them. But he's in you and in me as Christians. And we are a modern day version of Mary. Now, we don't carry a fetus, but we carry a force, a person within us, the person of Jesus Christ. And he does what you and I can't do. Imagine that someone tomorrow deposits $1 million in your bank account and you wouldn't look any different other than the silly smile on your face, but you'd have $1 million in the bank as assets. With God in you, you have tremendous assets that the person of the world doesn't have. You say, can't stop drinking. Christ can in you. Can't stop worrying. Christ can in you. I can't forgive that person who hurt me. Christ can in and through you. Can't forget something that happened in the past. Christ can help you deal with that. Paul knew this as he writes to the Colossians, and he says, "For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power that mightily works within me." Like you and me, we are, like you and me and Mary, we're all indwelt by Christ. You say, that's hard to believe. Think about what it was for Mary. An angel comes to her out of the blue and says, "Mary, you've been highly praised by God, and you're going to become the mother of the Son of God." Mary knows that she's a virgin, replies, "How can it be?" God gives her the answer of the virgin birth. Notice her response. "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it known unto me as you have said." If Mary is our measure, God seems less interested in things like our status in life, our talent, our wealth, our power, and more interested, am I available to what Christ wants to do in me? But we're not quite like Mary. We tend to try to assist God, assuming that our part is just as important as God's part. Or we resist. "I'm too bad. I've gone too far. I just am a total wreck. I'm too busy." And yet when we resist, we miss out on God's great grace. We miss out on the reason that we are placed on this earth, to be pregnant with heaven's child, that he lives through us. Paul summarizes it like this in the Galatians. "It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me." What would it be like to have a child within is a miracle. To have Christ within is to have my voice but him speaking, my steps but Christ leading, my heart but his love beating. In me, through me, with me, what's it like to have Christ inside, to tap his strength when mine expires, to feel the force of heaven's fires, raging, purging wrong desires? Could Christ become myself entire? So much of him, so little of me, that in my eyes, it's him I see. What's it like to a Mary be? No longer Christ, no longer I, but Christ in me. Would you stand for the benediction? Father, we pray that you would indwell us with Christ, that we would show the world what it means to be a Christian, that as we go through those doors, that our lives would make a difference in love and peace and grace and mercy and acceptance. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.